We've got Gene Bolick here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at everything that has people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing?
Is it a thing?
Or is it not a thing?
Or maybe not a thing.
Most things end up being things, but a lot of them
don't.
Actually, no, I'm going to go back on that, because most things are not things, and they just don't even end up on our radar for this segment.
That's true,
because we tend to take the top three things.
Yeah, we take the cream of the crop.
Yeah, everything from number four down to number 50 is probably not a thing.
Probably won't make the CHL cut.
Yes.
This is an award-winning radio station.
That's a tip, kids. Write it down.
That's a tip, right. That's right. Yeah. And you know, I mean, once you're, you know, North Carolina's greatest community radio station, you just have to, you have to weed out the riffraff.
Exactly.
For things.
Yeah.
And even that is not a thing. Although the award is a thing. Congratulations to WCHL.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're so happy for you.
We're excited about it. So what's our first thing not a thing thing?
Well, the first thing is the thing that's not a thing, which is war in the Middle East. You know, Iran, so far today, we have to add these caveats in case there's a six-second delay. We could have missed something.
Right, right.
But, you know, the president, as usual, I mean, the planes are in the air and he calls it off. Oh, just JK, you know.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I am fascinated by this. That's, and this is kind of a fascinating thing with this president, because he campaigned as an isolationist. Like, he campaigned as we're going to get out of all that stuff. We're not going to commit. And that's fine. But he also, like every schoolyard bully, is desperate for everyone to think of him as strong.
Strong.
And
right.
Those two things are going to butt heads with each other.
I have to say, I feel like this is kind of the first time that they have collided in such a way that his base might go, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was just saying, he was absolutely maybe too long in the tanning bed, but kind of red-faced yesterday.
Oh, God.
It was
a mistake.
You're gonna see. You're gonna see what happens.
Yeah.
And you know, boy, they made a big, big mistake. And then it was like, well, you know, are you gonna retaliate? And he was like, well, you know, maybe it was just
somebody being loose
and stupid.
Have you seen anyone coming up with words to try to get himself out of the situation that he put himself in?
Well, if you've been around children much, you've seen a lot of this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't mean that flippantly either. I mean, it's like, you know, when they're caught with a rock in their hand and a broken window in front of them, it gets interesting. That's when you really see some creative writing.
Yeah,
you
on
know,
the fly.
So, yeah.
Although
so,
I will say, I am glad that he didn't go through with the strike that he apparently authorized.
This is exactly the problem.
Deciding not to do it is a good call.
He inadvertently has made the right decision. It is pretty clear that Iran is trying to taunt the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to understand why they would want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad that we don't have an operation at the State Department that could be reaching out quietly behind the scenes to smooth things over and get a new nuclear deal in place, which is what we need to do, is just, look, change a comma and go back and put that deal back in place and say it's yours. I don't care about that.
Right.
How you brand it is, that's exactly what he did with NAFTA. He should do that. You know,
we said that about Obamacare, too. Like, just have Congress go back, pass the same thing again, call it Trump care, let them say it's a win, and everyone walks away.
Say it's a revolution in health care. It's fine by me.
That is actually what Kentucky did with expanding Medicaid, speaking of things that are a thing that have people upset.
KY Connect.
Yeah. They didn't say it was part of Obamacare. They said it was like KY Connect.
Yes.
And all of these conservative Republicans that were opposed to everything associated with Obama were perfectly fine with that because it didn't have Obama's name attached to it. But it was the same thing.
Yeah, and that was great. But then when they went to go vote, they said, well, you know, I'm going to vote for Trump because we need to get rid of Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this collision happens.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the part of the Venn diagram that's getting very uncomfortable for Trump. So, I think a lot of things are kind of hitting the fan.
It is going to be interesting to see the response, and it's already hilarious to see Sean Hannity doing the 180 on interventionism.
He's gonna hurt his neck, right?
I'm surprised he hasn't already. But I do think that there are a lot of people in Trump's base who voted for Trump partly or largely or primarily because they were sick of conflict.
Right.
And Trump comes forward and says, I'm a new generation.
Right.
We're going to pull back. I'm sick of this too.
System.
Let's pull back. And it would be interesting to see what that sector of Trump's base ends up doing if he ends up stumbling into some huge foreign commitment,
which
so far he hasn't.
That's right. Yeah. When you see either stand-up comedians or clever journalists who, you know, while these people are lined up for a rally, you know, they'll go up to them and talk to them and interview them intelligently and say to them, so, you know, were you feeling like you wanted to support Trump because instead of building back the streets and the schools and the bridges and so forth in Afghanistan or in Iraq, you wanted to see that investment made here in the United States, right?
What now do you think about
it? And they'll say,
yes.
And they'll say, well, but and now what about this? You know, he killed the funding for this in your town. What about that?
You know what is going to absolutely put the kibosh on any possibility of Trump getting us involved in a conflict with Iran? Someone needs to go to the White House, go into the Oval Office, and remind Trump that the man who went on national television and sang a song about bomb, 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 bomb Iran was John McCain.
John McCain.
His nemesis.
I think he maybe found that out and said, wait a minute, didn't McCain want this? Didn't the Beach Boys do a song mocking John McCain because he wanted this? Because, you know, he can really turn these things in his mind about how that all went. Oh, that would be interesting.
I still to
maybe
this day.
Maybe that's what did it.
Yeah. I still to this day, like, God help me, I like John McCain. That was his worst moment, I think, the one that
really?
I can think of off the top of my head. I very much dislike Donald Trump, and so far, if he, like, does the anti-McCain thing on this, I'm actually okay with that right now in this particular moment.
Yeah, you know, the whole
But it's a crisis that he created of his own making.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and he just, this is a merry-go-round. He has no idea how to get off. He's just gonna be the kid that throws up and they stop the ride and get him off.
Thing number two, what you got?
Thing number two.
We could talk about Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, bless his heart.
Everyone on my Facebook feed seems to be upset about, what was the comment that he made? He worked with a segregationist?
So he was talking about these two segregationists who were in the Congress, you know, 40 years ago also in the Congress. He was trying to make a point that even these people who were egregiously racist had a certain level of civility, and that he could, that they could work together and pass legislation.
Right.
So this is the simple thing that he's trying to say.
Fine, like,
you know, when you have a record that long, you know, you're entitled to make the observation that there were plenty of people in the Congress that you egregiously disagreed with. But that you could sit down, have lunch with them, and try to get through legislation on the 80% of things to serve the country that you agreed on.
Yep. And I think it's important to be able to...
I just said that without offending anybody, right?
Right. I think it's important to be able to compartmentalize. You have strong, like, go to the mat and have a knockdown, drag out, fight disagreement on this particular issue. But if you also agree on this issue over here, then let's pause this for a second, do the thing that we agree on, and then go back to the fight.
Let's fund the military. Let's fund the roads bill and the farm bill and all these things that keep things going.
So the point he was trying to make
is
not a thing.
Trying to make
the way he made it
not a thing. But the thing that was a thing is that he was citing one of these. I think it was Eastland, but it might have been the other one. And he said, you know, he called me son. He didn't call me boy. And I thought, you know, first of all, what white guy is going to say that? I'm sorry, Joe. You need to be cognizant of your complexion when you're saying such things. And he said this in a way that just made him sound like he just stepped off of the train from 1975. Mm-hmm. I mean, where did you come from that you're talking like this? Cory Booker said, you know, you're out of touch and you should apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Now Joe says, well, no, you apologize, you know, in this stuff.
Yeah. And Cory Booker gave him an out. Like,
he did.
Yes. Thank you. I realize I misspoke. I'm sorry for that. Here's the point that
he
I was trying to make.
He pretty much wrote it on an index card for him,
yeah.
Right? But no, Joe said, no. And, you know, I think Joe thinks that his demographic and his base is going to say, yeah, that's right. We're tired of apologizing for saying insensitive things and saying the right thing in the wrong way. And everybody's, you know, a snowflake. And I will say,
I like Joe Biden. Love the guy to death. Not my top choice or my second choice or my third choice. Or my fourth choice for the Democratic nomination. If he gets the nomination, I'll be fine with it. I don't think there's any Democrat who's running right now that I wouldn't be fine with if they got the nomination.
Yeah, but I want to hire a consultant to be right at his
right
hand.
He has always had this tendency of opening his mouth and saying things.
It's a gaffe machine.
Yeah.
I will tell you, you know, I'm not a professional political operative, but when a white guy says there's not a racist bone in my body,
yeah, that's usually a sign.
You're going to have 24 hours of evidence that you just said the wrong thing.
And sometimes when Biden opens his mouth and commits some gaffe, it's cute and endearing. And other times it's like this, where you're like, facepalm,
like, oh,
Joe,
God,
why,
please,
where?
No, really,
are you
even
coming
if it's
from
true,
with
Joe,
this?
It's better if somebody else says it for you. And
who's on the water cooler
goodness.
This weekend?
You know, honest to God, Aaron, I'm not sure. But I think it's just been like this for me, but I'm pretty sure that we are enjoying an encore performance of an interview with you, but I don't guarantee it. If it is that, I will guarantee that our listeners will enjoy it, I can tell you that.
Well, everyone should tune in just to see who the surprise guest is.
That's right. You know,
1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Sunday, and then 4 a.m.
Right.
Saturday morning.
I think that's right.
If you're up that late.
Yeah.
That is the Weekend Water Cooler. For this weekend, find them online at weekendwatercooler.com. That's thing, not a thing for right now. Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Thank you.